All right, come on. Hey, listen, thank you for being here today. Turn to your neighbor and say something like, I don't know, stay warm. I don't know, do you love Jesus? Ask them if they love Jesus, all right? It's good to see you. Okay. All right. So, you know, I'm sitting down in the front row. Now, if you're visiting today for the first time, thank you for being here. So I'm sitting in the front row and I'm thinking to myself, okay, how do I do this? Because I do have a message this morning that has to do with Heart for the House. I think I'm going to preach it. But in this season, when there's a smaller number of people that are here, sometimes it's really important that they get the whole message, right? I want the whole church to hear it. So this is one of those dilemmas that I have to walk through as a pastor. We're down in the front. Don and I are talking about it. And here's what I think I'm going to do today. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to preach the message that I had planned. And then I just think anybody who's not here, how many of you just say, let's just spam them and send it to them in their inbox? I think that's what we're going to have to do, okay? Because we're only about a third of the church today. So what I want to do is I want to bring you this message. Now here's, I'm going to do my best to do it quickly. I want to get right to the point today. However, there is a video that I want to show you. Now the video this morning is, it's about 10 minutes long. And it's a tour of the building, okay? So I want everyone to turn to your neighbor and say, this is gonna be so exciting. Yeah, it's gonna blow your minds, honestly. You're gonna wanna invite all your friends later. And the reason why I'm gonna show you this video is because it is very important that you do see what it is last year's Heart for the House went for. What we did with it. We couldn't put all of it in here, but last year, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars into the building, and I want to do a little more with you, but I thought, well, just for the sake of time, maybe I won't show this because it's about 10 minutes, but I think that there's a principle that kind of supersedes the time this morning or even my sermon. I really want you to hear from Pastor Malia, and she's going to walk you through the building so that you can see exactly what it is that we have been doing for the last 12 months. And on the HVAC, listen, everybody, we were so close. We were that close. As a matter of fact, one of them is working right now. One of them got turned on yesterday. The other one is not on yet, but it will be this week. But there's just so much. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to step down. And I want you guys to see where we did work on the building last year. And in case you didn't notice, now this may not feel like revival to you, but there's a door on that hole in the wall right there. Now you may think to yourself, so what? That's revival. In my church, that's revival. Because those doors have been upstairs being sanded and refinished for over 2 months, like all the doors in the building. So I'm going to go ahead. I want you to check out this video. And I want you to know this is what you guys did with Heart for the House last year. This is what you all donated to. So let's go ahead and run it.
Hey, Pearl Church, I am so excited to show you around the building and see some of the changes that we have made. I'm sure you've seen them as you have come in on Sunday mornings, but I want to give you a few behind the scenes peeks to see in some of the offices, in our broadcast room, things like that. So we're going to start right here in the lobby. You might have already forgotten, but we actually had carpet in here just a few weeks ago. We ripped out all of that carpet. We refinished this amazing flooring that we have right here with the concrete, stained it, polished it. It's beautiful. And now we are in this amazing open space. It's hard to believe because of the way this building is configured, but we actually have thousands and thousands of square feet of building in here that now it's so spacious as we have taken out some of the pillars, we've taken out some of the walls and really made it spacious. You might have forgot as well that there was actually a door right behind me. I walked through that door and down the aisle when I got married here in this building 12 years ago, but I love that we reconfigured it. We took out the aisle to make room for more seats and to make the flow just make a lot more sense with these doors over here. And this week, we're actually getting the glass put in our doors and those will be up any day now. I'm so excited to see how those turn out. They're gonna be beautiful. But let me show you around the building. Okay, so as you see, all of the floors have been totally redone. We took out the carpet and have the whole thing polished. And I'm actually gonna show you to some of the back offices, some of the places you probably don't see on Sunday mornings, so come with me. All right, so this is going to be our conference room. It used to be my office, but I moved upstairs. I'll show you that in just a few minutes. But we have painted everything you just saw out in the lobby. We've painted the hallways, and in here, we are going to be refinishing everything, the floors, and getting this space ready to be our conference room. We do so many awesome, fun team meetings, and this is gonna be a great space for our conferences. This is another room that we have renovated that the floors are being redone as well. And this is our team room. So this is where we have all team meetings, where we do worship and devotions as a staff. It is a great place for your pastors, your team to come have lunch. And we are rebuilding this and making it beautiful to serve our team well. So here is more of our offices where we have redone this hallway as well. We've redone the worship room just a few years ago, and our stage is right this way. But here is one of our group offices. I'm gonna bring in and show you kind of the plan in here. So we have a handful of people that office in here, and we have put new carpet in. It's been painted. This was actually two offices prior, and now it's just one. Don't mind the mess. We still have beautiful conference stuff going on. But this is actually a space that we're gonna open up and have as our reception area when people come in door 8, which is where you tend to come if you're visiting us during the week, if you have a meeting with one of our pastoral team or here with one of our team leaders. So this space has been renovated, and we're gonna continue to update it and renovate it. Okay, I am sitting in our brand new sanctuary where you're sitting right now as you're watching this video. And believe it or not, it was actually a risk to sit in this room not that many weeks ago because your chair might break. We did see a couple of heads just whoop because the chairs were breaking. And I'm so excited that we have these new chairs. And you'll recognize that we reformatted the way that they're set up. The center aisle is gone. It actually feels a lot better in here. We fit more chairs in here. Down by your feet, you'll see that there's a cup holder, there's a communion cup holder, and then right by your ankles, you have all of your offering envelopes, pens, anything you need is right here in these chairs. I am so excited that we have these and that it's not a risk anymore if your chair is gonna break, especially because the chairs that were breaking, we actually didn't have access to the parts anymore because they're discontinued. So these are awesome. I'm so glad that they are in, and we are in our new sanctuary. So another thing you probably noticed in here is our huge booth is gone, and we've replaced it with our control booth that's a lot smaller, and we took out the control room that was back here. So I don't know if you remember, it's crazy how quickly I forget personally what was here before, but we had a room right here that was our control room for ProPresenter, the computers that are now upstairs in the broadcast room, and it actually took a lot of real estate up in this room. And as you know, we believe with all of our hearts that we are a growing church, and we are making room for all the people that God is sending here. So we were able to fit a lot more seats in here by taking out the control room, by sizing our booth down to the appropriate size for this room. And it truly is one of, if not the nicest auditoriums in all of the city. All right, so you're gonna see our new HVAC system in just a moment, but I wanted to take a minute and show you our old boilers. So these are actually original to when the building was built in the 1950s. And believe it or not, they did explode one day. We were all working in the offices. We had to evacuate the building. Maybe I'm telling you too much, but it is what happened. They're totally decommissioned. There was nothing we could do to bring them back to life. So we went ahead and updated the technology of your heat, and that is what you are going to see next. Y'all, we have our AC and heating unit up here on the roof, which is so exciting. If you were with us last winter, you know we had to use hand warmers. And then this summer, it was quite hot. So we are so excited that these are here, that they're about to be fired up in just a matter of days. So we're so excited that these units are in and they're up here on the roof. Okay, so I'm giving you a real behind the scenes peek right now. We are in one of the back staircases, and I wanted to stop here and show you the carpet. I'm not sure what year this was put in, but I'm pretty sure this color was in fashion sometime in the 70s. I wasn't around, so I'm not sure. But it definitely shows the need to update the floors around this building. There are some places the carpet kind of smells bad, or it's just really old. So we're able to pull the carpet out, make the floors beautiful like we did out in the lobby, and we're actually gonna head down and check out the youth offices down here. Okay, so this gives you an idea of what the new carpet could look like. We've actually refinished this room. We are in the One Love offices. So this is Pastor Kaylee's office, but it's also where they have One Love Youth Services. And what I love about that is they are packed out in here. I can literally see when kids are lined up at the windows, just like when people were trying to break through the roof to get to Jesus. And that's what it's like down here. It is packed out there having so much fun at One Love Youth Services, but this room has been updated, it's been painted. Like I said, the carpets have been redone, and this is just the beginning of what we are going to do with the youth offices. All right, so because we had to move out of the offices downstairs, we have moved up here. So the whole creative department is actually up here. These rooms haven't been remodeled yet, but we are loving the space, loving the windows. Come in and I'll show you. So everything from worship, production, and media, we're in this office, and this upstairs area has really become our creative wing, and we will get to construction under here at some point, but we are so excited to have this space available as we are remodeling downstairs. Okay, so we're actually in the broadcast room, and this has quickly become one of my favorite rooms in the entire building because of what we can do from this room. So during Beautiful Conference, we actually streamed our conference live online, and not just to anyone who registered online and got to watch it in English, we actually streamed in Spanish as well. So we were all over the world, and we do that on Sundays as well. When you see church happening downstairs in the sanctuary, we also stream online, whether to YouTube or Facebook. You might have joined us online before. And this room is where everything is controlled from. So we have computers back here that have our switcher and everything that you need to get the different camera shots and what is actually happening downstairs in the sanctuary. We also have our control center for everything you see on the screens, for everything you hear. All of that that comes through online comes from this room, as well as things that are happening live in the sanctuary are coming from this room as well. So it is an amazing command center. It has been totally remodeled in this last season, so we love the broadcast room. All right, so like I said at the very beginning of this video, this space is wide open now as we took out the pillars that were right here, those little mini walls, and now it feels so open. And when you walk in this building, it makes a lot more sense the way things flow. And so thank you for taking this little tour with me. I'm glad you got to see all the places that our team has been so hard at work updating the building. And like we've been talking about these last few months, we know we are growing as a church. We know that God has so much planned for the Pearl Church right here, specifically on this busy corner in Denver, Colorado. And as we get the house ready for his people, it is such a privilege, honestly, to get to give into this. So as we are in our Heart for the House season, I want to say thank you so much, Pearl Church, for your generosity. It is amazing to see where all your dollars have gone, the vision of what more we want to do here on the property, and truly the lives that are impacted because of the Pearl Church. So thank you so much, and let's have an amazing Heart for the House season.
Come on, put your hands together for that. Now, all right, so I'm watching the clock here, and I'm going to be try to be very, very conscientious of it. But so we are in Heart for the House, okay? So this is our once a year annual offering. If you're visiting, every fall we take an offering, which is in two weeks from now, two more Sundays. And we give above and beyond to the church, to the vision of the church. Last year, we did give to church plants and missionaries and all that, but we had to put a lot of the money into the property. And next Sunday is a Sunday you're not gonna wanna miss. Try not to miss next Sunday. Next Sunday, we're gonna be having on the screen, we'll have all of the numbers for you. We're going to show you what we're going to be doing next year, what some of our vision is for next year. Next year is going to be a little shift from the property back to people. Come on, say amen. We just have a lot that we just feel we need to do and even catch up on from the pandemic season. So next week's going to be a very important Sunday. Now, just for a little context and then a couple of verses. If you haven't been tracking with us or you're new in the church, we moved into this building in 2019, at the end of 2019, and we actually were in here 6 months before the pandemic. 6 months before the pandemic, this auditorium was packed. People were having a hard time getting in the hallways. It was quite an experience. And then the pandemic happened, and our building remodel slowed down a little bit, okay? So if you don't know about this building, let me just give you a couple of stats, okay? So this building has 120 rooms. It has 28 sets of bathrooms, right? We haven't remodeled not even one of them yet. Come on, somebody. It's like if we're gonna do anything, can you fix the women's bathroom? And all the ladies said, yeah, because this smells like the men's bathroom. Let's be honest. But we're going to rip it out. We're going to fix it. 120 rooms, 28 sets of bathrooms. There's even a toilet right over the top of my head in the rafters. I'm not joking, because back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, they would do big productions here. And while the productions were going on, the lighting guys couldn't come out of the ceiling for like 5 hours. And so right over my head is a toilet. Now, could you imagine if something was to happen to that toilet? Some things don't make sense. However, we have four auditoriums. This auditorium seats about 1,700, probably 2,000 max. When we started the remodel, our first plan was to build a new lobby off of the grass on this side. Well, in 2019, that lobby was about a $2.5 million project. In 2023, it's a $4.5 to $5 million project. Now, if you're in any kind of building industry at all, you completely understand why it is that it is so much money, because everything has doubled. All of the costs have doubled. And so what we did was we went down the halls and we ripped out all of the pillars. Now, how many of you remember the brown pillars? Now, the brown pillars were great. They were great, except they took up probably a third of the space in the hallway. So what we did was we took out all the wood, took out all the pillars, and it opened up about 1,500, almost 2,000 square feet of space in our halls. Just our hallways alone are 8,600 square feet all the way around the sanctuary. That's a lot of hallway, right? Now, how many of you, just while you're listening to me, come on, you're gonna join with me in faith that we're gonna raise enough money in the next couple of years to finish off all the remodels in the parts of the building where we need to have church? Because that's the philosophy. The philosophy is you fix where the people meet. Number one, that's this room. And number two, you fix where the people work, where the people meet and have church, and where the employees work. And those are the first two things that we have been going after, and we're getting really close. The rest of the building can wait a while. We're not in a rush, but we have about 40,000 square feet of unfinished building that I believe that God's gonna fill with ministry and the work of God and Bible studies and leadership and interns and missionary offices. Come on, furloughs for missionaries coming home, staying with us for 3-4 months. Come on, you gotta have vision. Who's got some vision? You've gotta have vision. Vision is important because our God is a God of vision. Now, there is a mistake that some people make, that in the Bible, the word vision is always the word revelation, because there is a difference between a man getting a vision and a people who have revelation. And there are too many people, leaders in the world, that get up and they assess their own gift and they think they're amazing and I'm a strong leader, I can build things, and they begin to cast vision. But there's a difference between having a vision and getting revelation. In scripture, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, any time that God gives vision, it's in the form of revelation. So we want to be a people, not just a vision, but a people of revelation. right? So we want to know what it is that God wants us to do. We want to know where God wants us to go. Yes, you saw some pictures there. Yes, we're in Asia. Yes, we're in Africa. Yes, we're in Honduras. As a matter of fact, this morning, a team of people took off to Honduras to lead the Beautiful Conference for Women in Honduras. They're expecting over 2,000 women this next week, and a few of you will take off in a couple of days. Matter of fact, come on, how many think that's a good thing? All right, the women's conference. There's never been a women's conference in the nation of Honduras, and there has never been a larger gathering of pastoral leaders in the nation of Honduras ever. This is a first, this is a miracle, and this is a breakthrough in the spirit, right? Amen? Come on, so let's just pray real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for them on their flight right now. I pray that there would be an anointing on Pastor Malia and all of the rest of the team and on those that are about to leave on Wednesday. We pray, Lord, that you would break open, that you would burst open the doors, throw the doors of heaven open over those buildings. And I pray, Jesus, that you would come down and heal and minister, that you would do something powerful in that nation, and that you would open doors that no man could open, and that you would close doors that we don't even know that need to be closed. And in doing so, that you would provide a pathway into the revelation of God in that country. We pray, Lord, that you would give us Honduras, allow us, Father, to have a huge impact on the people in the churches in Jesus' name, okay? So this is what's really important, is that as we're moving forward, I want you to know that. Now, in the last 18 months or so, we have spent somewhere in the neighborhood, and I'll give you this next week a little more detail, but we've spent somewhere in the neighborhood of $900,000. And you need to understand that last year, you guys brought in about $800,000. And then money continued to come in all year. And I think that for all of you online and for everybody else, I think you should put your hands together, come on, and thank Jesus for all the finances. I think you should clap a little louder so the people online know that you're here. Okay. Now that sounds, you know, it is a lot of money. You know why it's a lot of money? It's because God's doing miracles. And just our HVAC was $400,000. So $400,000 of that is just the heating and air. And each one of those air conditioning units is the size of Elliot's office. Come on, they're so big. That's the size of a minivan. But it had to happen because, yes, Pastor Malia, one of them did blow up. And if you haven't heard the story, our boilers did blow up. We have about 23 employees in the church, and Pastor Elliot was looking out the window and saw smoke going down the road and thought, oh, there's something on fire in the neighborhood. I wonder what it is. And over the next few minutes, they had a revelation that it was actually us. And so we had to decommission all of our boilers, and we're working through it. But how many of you know that the building is not what it's all about? This is a barn, and we put sheep in it. So don't be offended that God describes you as a sheep. We're all sheep. How many of you know barns have sheep, buildings have people? And if we lose the understanding or the revelation that what we're building is not about buildings, but it's about people, then we will lose the anointing and the doors will close. This is not about money for men. This is about prophetic anointing for people who have an opportunity in the next season to find Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. This is about a city, and this is about people. Amen. Okay, so all of this, it's a big task for a church of 800 to 1,000 people, you know, all in, including, you know, the guy who walks his dog every day. When you're a church of that size, to take on almost 90,000 square feet of a 1954 building with deferred maintenance for 50 years, it's a big task, but how many of you know that God is up for the task, okay? Now, in the last few minutes, I'm going to try to get through this message as fast as I can, but this message today comes from 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, but I'm going to give you just a couple of verses. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, Paul is dealing with raising money. Now, people are always asking me, is this in the Bible? It absolutely is in the Bible. How many of you know what a capital campaign is? Okay, hands all over. Okay, so if you know what a capital campaign is, there was actually one in the Bible, and some of what you would do in a campaign is actually from Scripture, but people don't know that. So capital campaigns are in the Bible. Now, we're not in a campaign, but we are doing an offering. The other chapter, the other book of the Bible that has to do with money, that people don't realize it, is the entire letter to the Philippians. The Philippians church is really about one offering and people's heart towards the offering. I love that book. But we're talking about 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. And so I'm gonna start with this idea that God has a plan and an economy for his people. And I think that in this day and age, I trust the Lord more with my money than I do anybody else. You know, my friends, my family, the government, you feel me? I trust the Lord with my money because God has a plan. Now, in 2 Corinthians, Paul actually is dealing with a thought that I wanted to deal with today. Now, if you're visiting, of course, we're not gonna ask you to give, but maybe this will bless you, and maybe it'll help you to understand this a little more. He's dealing with a thought, and the thought is this. Now, I'm skipping a bunch for the guys in the back. You can catch up with me. You'll figure out where I'm at. He's dealing with this thought. If I give the way that Paul is urging me to give, there may not be enough to meet my own needs. So Paul is saying, look, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna get some of the churches to get together, we're gonna take an offering, and we're gonna send it back to Jerusalem to the home church where it all started, because there was a famine and people were dying and they were sick. And so we're gonna take care of the church in Jerusalem. So he was raising money from churches to send back to Jerusalem, and he was putting pressure on the church, on the Corinthian church. And what he dealt with very kind of subtly was like, what do you do if I feel that I wanna give, but I don't have enough to give? And that's from last week. We talked about how giving in the Bible is not prosperity teaching, because prosperity teaching gets weird. It's priority teaching. And how giving is never really a money issue. It's always a heart issue, because it's not about the amount that you give. My wife and I started giving $200 in the special offerings. I only made $900 a month. Come on, somebody, I was rolling. At $900 a month, we were rolling. Rent was $7. If I wanted a garage with the apartment, that was $50. So now we're at $750. We had a car payment, we had health insurance and insurance, and I think we were in the hole by about $50 a month, every month, and we were barely eating. That's when I discovered the power of Top Ramen. That's when I discovered that some things are of God even though you don't know it until you have to eat it every day. But you know, my wife and I found a way to scrape up a couple $100. It was never really about the amount. It was about the heart for what God is doing in the church. And so Paul then, he starts to deal with this in a kind of a subtle way, and he talks about it. He starts out with quoting Proverbs 11 when he says, one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and one who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. And then he quotes Proverbs 22. He says that God loves a cheerful giver. That actually comes from Proverbs 22. And then he goes into this extended metaphor about farming. And while he's talking about farming, he begins to draw out a doctrine of seed faith. Now, the problem with the doctrine of seed faith is that people have perverted what seed faith is. The problem is you can't take seed faith out of the Bible. You can't just say we're not gonna sow a seed, because prosperity preachers preach that, and things have gotten a little weird. So what I wanna do, if I can, in just a few minutes, to bring some balance back to that, because really, this is what he's saying. He's saying that in God's economy, things work differently. And this is what's really important for all of us to understand this morning. And all of you online, there's a lot of people online this morning, I see you. But in God's economy, things work differently. And we have to accept that, and we have to realize that and believe it. Now, there's five things that God can't do for you in your finances. Number one, he can't budget for you. Don't you wish he could budget for you? Don't you wish you could just say, Lord, send me the budget? But then you'd have to follow it. And how many of you know the Lord's budget for you wouldn't be your budget for you? You see what I mean? But God can't budget for you. He also can't magically give you a work ethic. You don't wake up one day and pray for a work ethic. Lord, I'm lazy, give me a work ethic today. And if you could do it before I go to work, that would be great. No, it doesn't work that way. Also, God can't pay off your debt. Because if you have money in the bank, it doesn't mean you're gonna actually pay off your debt. Usually we have money in the bank and we spend it without paying off our debt and we stay in debt, but God can't do that for you, that's your choice. God also can't make you generous. Because generosity is a heart issue, as we discussed last week. So God can't just like, he can't say, now you're generous. I'm just gonna make you generous. Generosity is something that is developed from an understanding of the cross and what Jesus did when he gave his son that we might live. So giving started with the giving of God's son. And number five, the other thing is like, he can't qualify you for something that you're not gifted to do. So in other words, somebody said to me the other day, I wanna do this job. And so I asked them a couple of questions. I said, do you know anything about that? And they said, no. And it had to do with math. And so I said, do you like math? And they said, no, I hate math. And then what do you wanna do? They said, I want the paycheck. I think I wanna do that because it makes a lot of money. And I thought to myself, I would like to do that too. I'm 55. I would like to do something like play in the NBA by the time I'm 58. You know what I mean? Because it's like, hold on a minute. You're actually not gifted to do that. And so part of the relationship that we have with Jesus is him explaining to us and giving us a revelation. Everyone say revelation. A revelation of how we're made. Not what we want to do, but how we're made. Because a true understanding of God in your life and purpose and mission is not what do you want to do. It's a revelation, a self-awareness, if you will, of how it is that you're made. And if you know how you're made, you're going to be more at peace. You're going to be more happy. You're not going to be striving with yourself. You're going to be less insecure. You're not going to be trying to do something you're not supposed to do. And you're going to find a great level of peace in your own heart. I think that all through the Bible, this thing that we call self-awareness, which I can't preach on today, I think self-awareness is so powerful in the New Testament. I think Jesus deals with it. I think Paul deals with it. And I think maybe as we get into the winter, we'll do something on self-awareness. But it's a very powerful force. He can't qualify me to do something that I am not gifted to do. But he can gift me and qualify me to move into an area and to express the way that I was created, okay? So we can respond to, we can pray for, fight through, identify, and ask for help with our weaknesses in finance. Has anyone here in the room ever had a weakness? Anybody here ever had a weakness?
Yes.
Has anybody here spent money you wish you had back? Okay, so we can, oh, bring it back, people. So we can say, Lord, I have weaknesses and I'm willing to do my part. This is the most important thing. God will help us if we're willing to do our part, but God does not remove human responsibility. Okay? Now in this verse, in these verses, in verse 10, he says this. Now he who supplies seed to the sower. Now before he gets here, he deals with an inspiration. He says, I'm using all of you to inspire other churches. He says that in a few verses earlier because other churches were watching. I got a text message last week from somebody that said, someone in my church, true story, I actually have the quote in my notes, but I'm not gonna read it because I didn't get permission to give names or anything. But I got a text that said, someone in my church was inspired by the Pearl Church and then doubled the amount they were gonna give to Heart for the House. And then they lost their job. And so they weren't gonna give anything. And so then they started a business within just a few weeks and they have tripled their income, so they tripled what it is that they were gonna give in Heart for the House. So they were saying thank you to the pastor and the pastor was saying, thank you, Pearl Church. Because this is how it works. This is all in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And then it says this, it says, I'm gonna send somebody to you. If you've ever been part of a campaign, which we're not doing, part of a campaign is where you sit down with people and you talk about your finances and the church, like the pastors will sit down and pray and talk. All of that is a part of 2 Corinthians. But then he gets to this. Now to he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. And so he's telling the story, he's talking to people, then in verse 10, he drops a theological doctrinal statement about giving in the kingdom because God's economy does not work the way human economy works. Okay, so he says this. He says, there is a store. You have what's called a store of seed. Now, when I think of a store, I always think of groceries. I always think of food. You don't use the word store for other places that you go. Okay? So if you need clothes, or it's almost Christmas, and so you're gonna get stuff and buy gifts for Christmas, someone in your house might say, hey, I'm going to the mall. Right, I try to avoid the mall at Christmas, but yeah, we're gonna go to the mall. Ladies, you have a big event coming up, right? It's a wedding, it's a date night with your husband, because your husband never forgets date night, and it's your anniversary, and you call the salon, and you say, hey, I'll be back in 12 hours because I'm going to get my hair done. I said 12 hours because I feel that's how long it takes. When young adults after church or youth after church, and it's 9 o'clock and someone like me is already in bed, they want to go to a restaurant. If you need 100 rolls of toilet paper, you say, hey, I'll be right back, I'm going to Costco, right? But if you're hungry and there's no groceries in the refrigerator, you say, hey, I'm going to the store. Because the store always represents sustenance. Paul is teaching us how to be sustained by God's economy. So when we think of a store, this is really the definition of a store. A store is a quantity or supply of something kept for future use. So a store is not where we go to pay somebody else for something that they own that we're going to pay interest on so that they can stay in business. A store is when you go open the cupboard, you already have what you need for next year, and you pull it out because you already own it. It's already a part of who you are. You're not paying someone else for it. It's a store. It's a cachet, if you will. So there is a store that Paul is talking about. In early agriculture, the store referred to the seed that you were saving for next year's crop. The implication is that if you take your store of seed, if you get hungry and worried and stressed and you have anxiety, and you take the seed and you grind it up out of fear, and you make flour, and you turn the flour into bread, and you eat it, then you have just sacrificed all of next year's harvest for one temporary moment of satisfaction. Your store of seed is what you have for next year. In Western culture, we break bread out of our future, and there's nothing left in the end except debt. So Paul then is encouraging us not to use our spiritual store, but rather to sow it into the ground of the local church, which is his context, where it yields a harvest. And if we all spend our spiritual store, the kingdom can't move forward. So there's a store of seed. So in this metaphor, in case you didn't, because I'm going to rip through this, if you haven't figured it out in this metaphor, you're the farmer, the farm is the church, and the seed is our finances. All right, now here it is broken down for you. Number one, it is God who creates and supplies the seed. Now, he who supplies the seed. How many of you know that you're not God? You did not create the seed. God supplies the seed. And it's interesting how we tend to think that because God gave us creativity, that when we build something, that we're building something that God didn't even know existed. Until we built it, and then God was so impressed. No, it's God who supplies the seed. Paul uses seed because it declares that you and I are not the creators of life, but God is. God gave us the seed. Man's tendency is to think that we created it, therefore we own it. And so then the first step in being a farmer in the kingdom of God is to give up ownership. And it's one of those things that we talk about all the time. And if you're visiting today, my church knows this, but we are owners of nothing and stewards of everything. And in our life, we're owners of nothing because we didn't create it, we didn't build it, it was all given to us. And the farmer that understands that I'm doing this out of glory to God, I'm giving this back to God, are the farmers in the kingdom that will produce the most harvest and the most righteousness. But we're not owners of this. Number two, we are sowers and not consumers. One of the things in the kingdom of God, in the American church today, is that we have, and you've heard 1,000 messages on this, like this is nothing new under the sun, but we have a consumer-based Christianity in the world today. If you have a consumer-based Christianity, then your Christianity is based on whether or not I like what I get when I go to church. So then church then, if it's not what I like when I go there, then I don't want to go there because I have a consumer mentality toward church. So then church then begins to transform into an entertainment style of worship as opposed to a presence of Jesus type of worship. And we begin to judge a church on how good their worship is or how good their worship isn't. Whether or not I liked the way the person talked to me at the door or whether I don't. Whether or not they had gluten-free pastries or not, I'm gonna go find me a church that gives me a gluten-free pastry. Do they not love me? Are they trying to hurt me? And we treat church the way that we treat a restaurant when we go in and they don't have a gluten-free muffin for the GF in my family. And we're like, how could you not have GF in this day and age? You know what I mean? Well, we have something else in the church. It's called the kingdom of God. It's called healings. It's called signs and wonders. It's called praying for the sick and believing in miracles and still wanting to take nations and not being intimidated by what we see on the news, because the news is just opportunity. I'm just here to declare it. Whatever God is doing somewhere else in the world gets to us in news. We embrace it in our heart, and then God reveals it to us, and we take heart for the house, and we birth it out of revelation. And so this is why we're you know, Paul's going, no, don't be a consumer. You got to be a sower. Now he who supplies the seed to sow, everyone say sow. Not consume. Nowhere in the Bible does God say that we are consumers before we are sowers. Consuming isn't even a kingdom principle. Consuming in the Old Testament is what locusts do. It's where locusts come in, and the Bible says that locusts consume everything in their path. They come in and they eat everything. It's like when I have a youth event at my house. Kaylee will say to me with a nice, sweet little voice, oh, hey, dad, yeah, could I have some youth over, you know, for a thing? And I go, yeah, but you know what I do as soon as she leaves the room? I start hiding my food. I go to the pantry. I start putting things behind pots, and I put stick stuff in my car because it's gone, people. It's gone. There's nothing left. There's literally nothing left. And the furniture will be broken, and someone will go into my office and take a book and read it because they, you know, God spoke to them through it, and I never see the book again. And even my dog is afraid. Even my dog hides. Because nowhere in the Bible are we supposed to be consumers. That's what locusts do. Locusts consume everything. And just think about it for a minute. In the kingdom of God, I'm sorry, but there are parts of Christianity that have become consumers like locusts. We come in, we devour everything in a church, and when we don't get what we want, we go to the next church. And we wonder why the church is shrinking today by 70% a year. Mainline denominations are shrinking by 70% a year. It is a drastic, scary time that we live in for the church. If you look at it through the eyes of the natural, but how many of you can believe with me today that if we can just go from consumers to sowers, how many of you know the church can grow, the church can be strong, and the church can have an impact on cities? So we have to stop being consumers. Number three, God will supply and he will increase. So he says, now he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of food or your store of seed. So every year when you have a harvest, you take some of the seed and you put it away. And every year you're supposed to take a little bit more seed than you took the year before. So that next year you have a larger harvest than you did this year. And so the way that the kingdom of God works is that every year we sow, and every year we try to sow just a little more, at least we do in our family, and this is where faith comes in. One family story that we, you know, we tell in our home is, and I didn't clarify the details on this, but you know, when you sow, God is a God is a good God. And he wants good things for his children. But the story that I, because my father-in-law is sitting here today and, you know, he's going through some of his battles with his health, and you know that. And I just was thinking about stories this week, and there's a story about when they first went back to Africa, and I won't get the details right, so I'll make it all up, and then you can correct that another day. But basically, they were all going back to Africa, and they couldn't, and I think Donna was a teenager, but they couldn't afford the tickets. But you know what? They sowed, they believed, they've tithed and given their whole life. They've never been stingy their whole life. You know, they're the kind of people that when Thanksgiving, you're having Thanksgiving, how many of you know there's going to be some group of people in the room you didn't even know were going to be there from another country? Come on, because we're just feeding people. That's how they are. They didn't know what they were going to do, so Bob goes down in the basement in the house and finds a hole someplace downstairs in the wall, reaches through the hole, and there's like $800 in a hole. In the house, just what they needed to buy the tickets to go back to Africa, where they could, by the way, lay their lives down for Jesus, right? And it had been there for years and was a result of somebody who had owned that home before them. And there's something powerful about us believing in the Spirit, because Paul's dealing with a spiritual thing, that when we sow and we give our seed, that he's going to reply to us with something that is out of the box and not normal, and something that is out of faith. Because when we're sowing in faith, our reward comes through faith. Are you with me? When you sow in the supernatural, you're going to get a supernatural reward that allows you to fulfill revelation. And I love that story because it tells me just how faithful God is. And then it goes on to say this: you have to increase your work. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Now, this verse is one of the first verses, and I'm going to wrap it up right here. This is one of the first verses that I ever preached to our staff, going back maybe 8-9 years ago. That if we sow and we believe that we will be enriched in every way, can everyone say every way? So that we can be generous on every occasion. Now say every occasion. Okay, now watch this. If we increase our store, we increase our harvest because we want to be enriched in every way so that we can be generous on every occasion. In other words, there are things that God will call the Pearl Church to do in the future that we don't know about yet, but we want to have the finances and be prepared to do it. That takes a walk of faith. That's why we never say no. That's why all the churches that we've planted and helped, dozens and dozens and dozens. That's why we send people to Africa and Asia and Cambodia and Mexico and all the countries that we're in this year. Why? Because we want to be generous on every occasion. Say every occasion. Come on. We don't want to be limited. How many of you don't want to be limited? If you don't want to be limited, then you have to take the limits off, and you can't take your spiritual seed that should be in the store and spend it on bread. You have to invest it into the harvest for the next year and then see what God can do. Everybody said amen? Okay, I did that like 5 minutes over what I wanted to, but just go ahead and clap and say, good job, Pastor Doug. Really good job, good job, good job. Thank you. Thank you. That's all I needed. I don't need any more. I don't want to get weird. Please stand to your feet, and I want to have the band come. And you guys can get ready to sing. And so what we're going to do is this. I'm going to pray for you. Now in three weeks, we're going to take an offering, and we're going to believe God for the finances that we need this year to move. Well, there's two things. We still have to finish the building, but we also want to move into some of the work that God's called us to do in the city. So let's pray. I'm going to ask God to do a miracle this year. Do any of us still believe in miracles in the room? Come on, right? All of you at home that are watching, I want you to believe with us today in miracles. And I know there's a lot of you today, and you're not here. I want us to feel like we're one family, even if you're watching at home on your television, on the computer. I want us to feel like one today. Now bow your heads with me, close your eyes, because I'm not going to move forward until I ask this question. with all of this said, none of this really matters. Let this entire message fade into the background just for a second. Please close your eyes, because I know that there's people here today and your relationship with Jesus is not where you would love it to be. I don't even know how to say it the right way, but there's people here who need to say to Jesus, I'm ready to give it another shot. I'm ready to go one more round. Jesus, I need you and I trust you. There's people here today who are not following God, but there's somebody that came here today. You're not even following God, and you came here almost out of faith, almost out of desperation. And then there's some of you here today, you have just been away from him for so long, and you're just like, I need to know Jesus. I even think some of you who go to church every week, you might even feel like you don't even know God right now. You feel desperate and distant from him. Heads bowed, eyes closed. When I count to three, I want all of you who need this prayer, this dedication prayer, this relationship with Jesus prayer, I want you to lift your hands. One, two, three. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Keep the hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, miss. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Father, I pray for these people that have their hands lifted, and I pray, Lord, that you would do something powerful in their life. Lord, all of this other stuff doesn't matter in the sense that you were the first ones to give. You were the first one to give anything. You gave your son that we might have eternal life with you. Greater love has no man that he would lay his life down for a friend, and that's what you did to us. And I'm so grateful today, Jesus. I pray that the Holy Spirit would be so relevant, evident, and tangible in this room right now. Holy Spirit, please don't let this prayer be trivial or lighthearted. I pray, Father, that there would be a transformational moment in the lives of the people who lifted their hands. And we give you the glory. Pray this with me, church. Say, Lord Jesus, here I am, all of me. And I know you love me just the way I am. And so today, I invite you in. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me of all my messes, all my mistakes, and my sin. Today, Jesus, I'm asking you for a brand new start. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, put your hands together. Let's close with a song.